Thank you for joining me today on the Who God Says podcast. I am your Kingdom Ambassador and host, Ty Chandra. Hi, hi, hi. Today, we're going to be talking about playing your role in the kingdom. The power in your position, right? So 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And if we drop down 1 Corinthians 12, 20 through 25, it says, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concerns for each other. Okay. Now, originally, when I heard about many are the members of the body, I thought specifically about the church. I originally thought that, oh, that applies to, you know, titles being given in the church, like the pastor, the assistant pastors, the deacon, the ushers, youth ministry, worship leader, that type of stuff. When I thought about it, I originally thought it only applied to performing or being in a position in a church, physical church, right? But as I've grown and I have developed my relationship with the Holy Spirit, He has shown me different ways in which that applies. It not only applies in the church, it also applies as a whole to the kingdom of God. And it also applies in like everyday life, like on your job, within your family. And a lot of people don't really grasp that concept of playing your role or the power in your position within your family or the power of your position within your job. Now, job might be a stretch because we know how people are. Once they get a title, they get a big head and they think they run everything. So that part, I think some people may understand, but I think they let their ego lead. So they don't actually grasp the entire concept of it. But this actually applies not only to the church, but the kingdom of God, like I said, your family, your job. It applies to all. Because we have to first understand or, I guess, figure out what our position is. What is our specific role? I want to bring you to a story really quick in Luke. Chapter 1. And that story talks about Zechariah and Elizabeth, right? Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't have any children. They were getting up in age. And the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and said, hey, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. And he didn't believe him. So I just want to ask you one big question. For me, if an angel came to me and said, you are going to have a son, I don't know if I would have had enough balls not to believe him. First of all, that was the first thing, like an actual angel. But again, I guess it depends on how that angel manifests itself to Zechariah. I don't know. Maybe the angel looked so familiar that he thought it was a farmhand or one of the servants or something. So I don't know. But Zechariah didn't believe the angel Gabriel when he told him that he would have a son. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who we later know as the parents of John the Baptist, they're also the cousins of Mary. Elizabeth was Mary's cousin, Mary as in Jesus's mother, right? So when you think about Elizabeth, Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, they all had specific roles they had to play. But there was one main goal, and that goal was to bring forth or prepare the way for Jesus Christ, right? Okay. Do you guys remember that movie, 6 Degrees of Separation, with Will Smith, where they basically say that everybody in the world is connected to each other based on who they know, and it's like six people that separate that I know him through my cousin, baby daddy, girlfriend on my daddy's side. Yay. So based on this Bible story, Mary and Elizabeth would be the fourth degree of separation because they were cousins. The biggest thing is that they were all chosen. They were chosen. They were favored by God to be vessels for the Holy Spirit to do a work. And first of all, just to be chosen. See, nowadays we're chosen, but sometimes we don't understand the purpose, what we're chosen for, and exactly how to walk that out. But if an angel actually came to me and said, you are going to have a son, I would be like, Lord, what am I chosen for? You know? I think that would be confirmation enough for me to say, I'm going to have a son. If that was me, I would start picking out names. But at this point, there was still separation between the people of God and God's kingdom. It wasn't until Christ came and died and rose that the veil was torn and that we all received the Holy Spirit. So before the Holy Spirit would just descend upon people, but not dwell in people as he does now. So I say all that to say, if any of those people, Elizabeth, Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, if any of them would have stepped outside of their role, I think the story of Jesus's birth would be a whole lot different. It would be different. Now, God's word can never fail. So Jesus would still come, but it would probably have been different vessels. You know, what if Mary didn't believe what Gabriel said? Would Jesus' mother name be Priscilla? Or would God choose someone else from the house of David besides Joseph because of Mary's unbelief? Because when you're sitting in your position, when you're playing a position that's assigned to you and you're in the will of God, everything flows. And the people that you affect and impact are affected and impacted in the way that God designed. Now, when you step outside of that, right? So let's say Mary didn't believe what Gabriel was saying and she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not having no baby till I get married. You might want to find somebody else. Because you ain't going to have me out here looking trifling and nobody don't want to touch me after they talking about I'm pregnant and I ain't got no husband. By stepping outside of that, you not only affect and impact people, because everything that you do affect the people around you and they impact the people around you. But does it impact them in the way that God wanted them to? Because if she would have said, I don't want to do this, maybe God wouldn't have chose Joseph. Maybe he would have chose someone else. So the anointing that was supposed to go to Joseph may have went to I'm going to just say this name. I know this is not in the Bible, but I'm going to say it. May have went to Ricardo because Mary wasn't in the position where God placed her, right? So just think about that. Think about when you're given a position. Are you operating in that position in the way that God wants you to? Are you operating in the will of God in that position? Or are you operating in yourself? It's about me. It's about my ego. It's about how I feel. Don't aggravate me. I've been on jobs where if the supervisor didn't like you or you made them mad, then they can cut your hours. Not that they can, but they do, for the simple fact is they didn't like you. But when you do things like that, you don't understand what your ripple effect may be, right? You don't understand how you're affecting the person or how you're affecting the actual job that you're on. And I use jobs specifically in this example because a lot of people can resonate with it. I know I'm not the only one that been on a job and the supervisor didn't like somebody because they always coming in late. Or they don't like their boyfriend. Or they like someone else who's in a position lower than that person. And they want to find a way to get that person out so their friend, quote unquote friend, that they want to move up can move up. People are so busy operating in themselves that they forget to consult God about the position that they're in or the position he wants them to be in or what type of impact that position is supposed to make on someone else. Now, from the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, we know that Zechariah became a mute because he didn't believe what Gabriel said about his wife, Elizabeth, having a son. So he asked Gabriel, well, how do I know that this is true? Right? So Gabriel was like, oh, okay. Well, you won't be able to speak until it happens. So that's how you're going to know. And Zechariah literally became a mute. He could not speak until the boy was born. And Elizabeth said his name was John, right? And then the servants, they had to get Zechariah's confirmation because no one else in their family was called John. And back then, they kind of repeated the names, right? Not like we do it, John Jr., John the Third, John Fourth. No, they basically had John, and then John again, and then John again. So they needed Zechariah's confirmation. And then he actually had to write it down. He wrote down, called him John, or the boy's name is John. And once the servant read it out loud, then Zechariah was able to speak. And this was crazy to me because he was instantly corrected in his unbelief. But nowadays, we're not instantly corrected in our unbelief. God kind of gives us some rope so we can go out and walk the tight rope on the balancing beam. And hopefully we can get our balance and make it to the other side. With Zechariah, his unbelief, he was like, how am I supposed to know this is going to happen? And Gabriel was like, okay, so you're not going to be able to speak. Instantly, he was being dealt with because he stepped outside of the position. So let's think about this. What role did God give you that you didn't believe or that you had doubts about? Was it that you didn't believe God? Or was it that you didn't believe in yourself? Now, for me, I 100% believe in what God says. Whenever God shows me something, he reveals something. For me, he speaks to me a lot of time in dreams. And my pastor, Senior Pastor Ed Moffitt, I call him a lot to talk to him about my dreams, to kind of get him to interpret the dreams. Previously, I really didn't have no idea what they meant. And I would just have to wait till they come into fruition. And I'd be like, dang, I could have sworn I had a dream about this. Like, I did. But now God has given me a leader and a faith that I can actually confide in, and he can help me and guide me. So I call my pastor to interpret my dreams. And I used to be like, okay, I believe God. I believe what he says. But I don't think I'm ready. Like, I would instantly start to doubt. I don't think I'm ready. Oh, I got a lot of work to do to get to that point. I got to get this together first, or I got to get that together first. And as soon as I get this fixed, as soon as I get this down pat, then we can do this, God. Like, I got to do this first. It was not until recently had I received a word or a dream or something from God, and I would be like, okay, God, let's go. Like, what you need me to do? What I'm supposed to do? Previously, I would sit in shock, be amazed about what it is that God said. And then I wouldn't give it 5 minutes to just sit and settle on me. Not even 5 minutes. It would just instantly go into, you talking about me? How I'm going to do this? How am I going to, what I got to, so I'm not ready for this. Okay, so in order to do that, I have to do A, B, C, and D, and then I need to do A, B, C, and D, and then I need to do 1, 2, 5, and Y. It was a lot, but I had to get to a point where the devil had to poke and prod and go in hard on me to even get me to start with the disbelief on myself. It took a while. It definitely took a while. It took a lot. It took a lot for me to go through. And every time I went through something, while I was going through it, I was good. I had a lot that have happened to me. But while I was going, once I started my spiritual journey to reconnect myself back to God and really just let him know I'm here 100%, I went through a lot physically, with family, with finances, with my business, with a lot. I went through a lot. While I was going through it, I was okay. I was okay, mainly because I felt like I had so much I needed to focus on. I couldn't even allow myself to get into the space where I'm like, hey, I just feel down, right? But after I came out of those things, or after God brought me out of those things, I kind of had this reflect moment. I always have this reflect moment where I'm like, oh my God. And then when I have the reflect moment, like when I reflect on everything, then it starts piling up and hitting me. And it's like, oh my God, I could have died. Oh my God, we could be homeless. And just by giving myself that time to even think negatively about things, that's when the devil stepped in. He stepped in, and I mean, even if it's a pinky toe, he'd be sliding that toe on in the door like, girl, hold on, hold on. He'd be trying to get in there. But I'm human. And my God is so merciful and graceful that all he do is tap me on the shoulder and make sure I'm looking in his direction. they remind me on what the goal is. Most of the time, I focus on what I already know and what I can do instead of what God said I will do. So when I first got into the tax industry, not many people know this, but I'm dyslexic. I'm an excellent tester. So I can study and I take tests, I pass tests. I'm an excellent tester. So in fourth grade, I missed a lot of school because of things that was going on at home. And they wanted to keep me back a grade. But my dad was like, my daughter's smart. You ain't about to keep her back grade. You ain't about to hold her back. And he was like, well, test her for the fifth grade. So they actually tested me for fifth grade. I'm a great tester. When they tested me for fifth grade, I actually scored for sixth grade. But they moved me to the fifth grade. Okay. Now, I started to notice, and I'm saying seventh grade now because I remember how I started to address dyslexia. Okay. My dyslexia deals with numbers. So I have a hard time remembering numbers and remembering numbers in the sequence that they're in, right? So, you know how some people can remember their phone number from when they were a child. When I started learning my phone number or my grandpa's phone number, it was a little bit difficult for me because I couldn't remember the sequence of the numbers. And then my numbers looked backwards. So you know how you write a six, like down and then loop? Well, my sixes would be backwards. My fours would be backwards. My nines, like everything would be backwards. So I just remember around seventh grade, even though I'm pretty sure I've had this issue for a while, but I just remember around seventh grade is when I started to really coach myself into remembering numbers in a rhythm. And this is why music is just like my second love. When I started remembering numbers in a rhythm, I would look at stuff at school, even if it was 443 plus 926, I would have to remember that in a rhythm. Or I would be looking at a number, writing a number, and looking at it and making sure back and forth, like four. Is that a four? Okay, that's a four. That is it. Okay, yeah, you write a four this way. Four, three. I would have to keep doing that, right? So I started to remember numbers to a rhythm. And by the time I made it to Southern University in New Orleans, an entrepreneur course, but by the time I made it there, it was like second nature. I had coached myself into doing it, and it wasn't like I had to focus on things anymore. So every time I see the numbers, they come out in a rhythm. So when I was getting into the tax industry, it's crazy because I've been in the tax industry for over 10 years. Can you imagine working with numbers every day and having a problem with seeing numbers? Like if I did not focus in and coach myself, and I'm saying myself only because I didn't have outside help like from parents or friends or anything. I don't even think my dad, nobody really got me tested for it, really. I understood that I had dyslexia as I became an adult. But as a child, nobody tested me for it. Then, like I said, I started to remember things in the rhythm. And voila, here I am. I have multiple businesses. I'm a bookkeeper at Intuit QuickBooks. I am the owner of my own tax and bookkeeping firm. I've been in the tax industry for over 10 years. I'm an enrolled agent with the IRS. Here I am. Now, let's think about if I told God, I don't like math, which I say that for a long time. for a long time, anytime it had anything to do with math, I would turn my nose up and I would be like, I don't like math. I'm not doing it. But just think about it. If I would have told God, I can't open the text. I can't get a text prepared job. I don't like math. I would not have started multiple businesses because it all started with me actually getting a tax repair job. The first job I had as a tax preparer was a tax preparer assistant. And the person I was working for, he didn't explain everything as far as getting your P10, you know, taxpayer certification number to actually file taxes. So it was a lot of things he didn't tell me. He just wanted me to be able to fill in the forms on paper. Like he wanted me on paper to be able to do the tax return and then turn it over to him. And he go put it in the software and file the actual tax return, which was very limiting to me because I would have never grown from that. I would have just sat beside him and did everything that he needed me to do. And there would be no growth. There would be no impact. But I worked with him maybe, it was a short period of time. And because I was new and I wanted to learn whatever I could learn and I was eager, in the back of my mind, I knew there was no growth, but I refused to move on. Like, I was like, I'm not going to do it. He going to have to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to quit. So what ended up happening is God told that man that there was so much more that I needed to do and I couldn't do it there. When the man fired me, prior to that, I had never been fired, right? And when he fired me, this is how he said it. He said, look, I think you are amazing, but there is so much more that I see in you. And I know that I will just be holding you up here. So I'm going to have to let you go. And I was like, okay. Like, I ain't never heard of no things like that before. But I'm like, okay. Now, what if that man would have said?
Let's take a quick break.
Hi, everyone. Join the Kingdom Fanatics community. Get exclusive content, green room access with our guests, and more. Visit our website at whogodsays.com. Like and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We greatly appreciate your love and support. To find all information on joining our community, being a guest on the show, donating on our PayPal donation page, and more, visit us at whogodsays.com. Now back to the show.
I ain't got to do no work with her around. Anything I ask her to do, she going to do it. I don't know, Lord. I'm not about to get rid of her. I might not be able to find nobody to do the work like she does. What if he would have said that? What if he would have stepped outside of what God wanted and said, no, I can't fire her because she's taking 60% of my workload. I can't do that. That would have impacted me in a negative way. It would have limited what God wanted to use me for. Right? So I'm just trying to get you in the mind frame of when you are actually walking in what God tells you to walk in or what he's placed you in or put you here for, when you're walking in that, you're not only there for you, you're there for the people that God wants you to impact. So when I hear many are the members of the body, I'm like, okay, am I a thumb? Am I a hair follicle? What is my impact or my role? Because honestly, do I feel like I have anything to bring to the body? Sometimes. And sometimes I'm like, so what is my function? What am I here for? Right? But through prayer, the Holy Spirit helped me realize that I was looking at the picture from the wrong angle. My perception was cloudy. It was very cloudy because I was looking through the limitations of my flesh, right? I was thinking that to be a member of the body, I would have to have a common function like a hand or a foot. But when you really think about a body as an exam, there are like 206 bones, I think, in a body, probably. And I can probably name six, if that. But there are like countless other blood cells and natural bacteria and so on and so forth. Like there's so many things that make up one body, like a nervous system. You have veins, you have all type of things. So my perception was a little bit cloudy because I was focused on me. Like, okay, what's my function in my head? What is it? But the point is there's so many things that make up the body. There's things that we can see and things that we don't see, but they work together. They all work together in the background. Your blood flows. We don't actually see the blood flowing, but we know it's flowing, right? That's a, probably be dead. But Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were members in the body and they had specific roles in bringing forth John, who would prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And Gabriel played a role when he delivered the message, but also the servant played a role who read out the name of John when Zechariah couldn't speak. So we all have a specific role to play. And like the Bible say, it may be a big role. It may be a small role. The objective is not to judge someone because you think your role is bigger than theirs. Don't feel like you're just a big head honcho and everybody else are insignificant. Because if you are the eyelid, don't feel like just because I'm the eyelashes, you're better than me. Because your eyelashes protect your eyes when they're open. So without your lashes, you would have all kind of things just blowing in your eyes. But you are eyelids and you think you all that because you can close. But you can't walk around with your eyes closed, can you? So when it comes down to it, you don't need to be a pastor. You can be a greeter at the church and still make an impact. I don't have to be a headliner on a tour. I can be the creative designer and still make an impact. I can be the dancer second row to the left and still make an impact. I don't have to be the director on a film. I can also be the production assistant and I can still make an impact. Or I could be the extra that sips coffee in the scene 22 times because I've done that before. But you still make an impact. You still contribute. No matter how major or how minor we feel that we are, we still contribute. Now, previously, I told you all about my dad. His name is Gregory. Now, Mr. Greg, he wasn't the president. He wasn't the mayor. My dad didn't even go to high school. But he was the guy in the neighborhood that just so happened to watch out for everybody. And he made sure he stood up for anybody when he felt like it was right. No matter if you asked him to or not, he served. And he served in his purpose. That's who he was. He was a ghetto version of Wesley Snipes and Bleeds. Don't ask me how I come up with these analogies. I do not know. But that's the picture that I have in my head. Or like Jamie Foxx on that movie Power. That's how I see my dad. Like, he knew he had a specific role to play. And he operated within his capabilities and within the limits or within himself as God intended for him to do. He had his armor on daily. And on the exterior, he was like a warrior. He was hard. My brother called him Incredible Hulk. Like, there were some things I seen, we saw my dad do that we were like, is this man human? But he was also compassionate and protective. The bottom line, we are all here to serve. And every inch of the body serves a purpose, no matter how big or how small. In your family, you serve a purpose. I know they have some people who have big sister, big brother complexes. They have some people who have I'm the baby complexes. But you ever think about how you label the people that's in your family? Like, you have the loud one. You have the one who can't cook. You have the nosy one. You have the messy one who's always in everybody's business and spreading everybody's business. You have that one drunk auntie that get on everybody's nerves at the family gathering. Think about how you label the people that's in your family. And then think about what they bring to the family. So without that nosy family member, would you know what was going on with your grandmother who lives two states away? Without the messy family member who tells everybody business, would you even know if they were okay or not? Without the drunk auntie that gets on everybody's nerves at the family gatherings, would you know about any of your family's past secrets and the trauma that your family is holding on to? Would you know about any of that? Just think about the role that you play and the people around you at work, at school, your children, in your family. Think about the role. My pastor told me that my role, he told me this some years ago, that my role within my family, that I will be the spiritual matriarch of my family. When he said it, I was like, oh, that's so nice. That was the response. Oh my God, that's nice. Like, that's sweet. When I instantly started thinking about that, I was like, well, why not my mom? Or why not my brother? Like, my brother is deep into his spiritual walk with God, and we call him Deacon now. So why not my brother? But for years, I asked those questions. And when God finally revealed it to me, he said, there was something I'm putting in you that only you would be able to do. Only you would be able to reach the people that I want you to reach. Only you would be able to impact the people that I want you to impact. There are certain places that your brother, sister, she gonna look at him, there's not gonna go. There are certain people that your mom is just not gonna talk to. There are certain people that when they look at you, it's like, what is y'all looking at me for? There's something that God put inside of you, is what he told me. There's something that he's put inside of me that is only for me to use. And that's why he chose me to play that role for my family. Now, in the kingdom of God, he chose me to reach people that the church don't want to have nothing to do with, because they get on their high horse and they're like, you need to get yourself together. But I remember, I have four kids, and I can remember every last one of them trying to walk. And as they tried to walk, I never told my children, you need to get yourself together. Because you need to be walking. You need to get yourself together. I never told them that. I watched them. I helped them. I reached out my hand. I made sure they had something to lean on if they stumbled. I made sure they had something to guide them. The church does not do that anymore. The church has been so confined with the image and culture and what's acceptable or what they think is acceptable. And the biggest thing is they don't want to be canceled, because, of course, we're living in cancel culture. And they're no longer reaching out to help people walk. People are stumbling. And they're not helping people walk. That is my position. That's what God has put in me. And I'm not going to sit there and not believe it. I'm going to accept that position. I'm going to say yes. Because when you operate in what God has put in you, you start to see things, you start to experience things, and it's like, why? Why? Like, you really start to see how amazing God is. But when you run from what he gave you, when you run from his purpose, when you run from what he told you, you are going to be miserable. And always feeling like you got to figure something out. Why I got to do this? What's going on with this? Why does this keep happening? You're going to be miserable. You're going to be living in the same loop-de-loops. You're going to be going through the same hardships. You have to accept what it is that God put in you. What is he telling you to do? What is your position? Some of us may know our position, and we just not finish living the life that we want to live. Some of us might think, when I get older and I settle down, I'm going to do what God told me to do. Because right now, I'm young, and I don't want to be left out. Everybody else going out every weekend, I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be left out. My partners now, they go to the gym every Wednesday. They go find these girls. Every Friday night, we got a different bed that we could go out to the club with, and then we take into a hotel. So when I'm finished with all that and I settle myself down, then I can do what God told me to do. I'm going to just tell you this. When God tells you what he wants you to do, he wants you to instantly accept it. Don't wait a couple of years. Don't say, I'm doing the wrong thing. God don't want me to do this right now. You can have a needle in your arm. You can have a needle in your arm. And if God tells you something, you better take it out. You could be sniffing a lion right now. And you already know what God told you to do. You better go do it. Don't contribute to your tribulations. Don't contribute to your hardships just by being hard-headed. Think about it as being a parent. And the reason why I make a lot of references as a parent is because that's how I view my relationship with God. But think about it as being a parent. If you have two children, one child, every time you ask them to do something, they do it. Another child, You have to constantly keep telling them over and over to do something. Now, as a parent, the child that you tell to do something and they do it, how are they rewarded? How are they sustained? If my child did exactly what I asked them to do, if they do their chores when they know they're supposed to do their chores, that's pretty much all they have to do, their chores and their homework. Like, that's all my kids have to do. If they do that, I have absolutely no problem. What is it that you want? Right? You want to go by a friend's house? You can go by your friend's house. Your friend is having a birthday party? You can go to the birthday party. There's a dance coming up at school? You can go to the dance. You want to have a sleepover? You can have a sleepover. But that child that has an attitude when you tell them to do something, that child that you told them to do something, they act like they didn't hear you, so they didn't do it. And then when you tell them again, they got an attitude like, why are you making me do it? Why are you not making him do it? How much harder is it for that child? They can't have no friends over. They can't go nowhere. They can't do nothing. When the other kids go to the store and buy stuff from the store, you can't get nothing from the store unless it's some necessities. Because God will still provide your necessities. You're just not going to be living in the abundance that he wants you to live in. What is it that God told you to do? What is the position he told you he wanted you to play? And don't compare yourself. When you think about the things that God told you to do, you don't have to compare yourself to nobody else. You don't have to say, well, God told me he wanted me to be a minister, but my uncle is a minister and my brother is a minister. We ain't never had no female ministers in our family, so I don't even know how that's going to work. I don't think that's going to work out. God didn't tell me to do that. It was just probably just a thought. Like, no, you know, don't compare yourself. When God said he wants you to be an actor, nobody in my family has been in the film industry. I don't have what other people have. Like, they have families that started in the film industry, and so they got a leg up. So I'm going to just go ahead and go work at Wendy's, and I can move up there. I can be a crew member, a shift leader, and then I can eventually get my own store. So I'm going to go do that. Stop, don't compare yourself. Walk in what he told you to do. Play the position that he assigned to you. There's power in that position. We are not here to compete with one another. And I'm not talking about sports or just doing things like when you challenge each other to become better versions of ourselves, because we can do that. I think competition comes in when we step outside of our role. Think about it. If your position is to be a strand of hair, right? Only a strand of hair. Let's see if I can pull a strand. So if your position is to be a strand of hair, and the purpose of this strand of hair is to add to the thickness and fullness of the head of hair as a whole, right? So your position is a strand of hair, and your purpose is to be thick and full. Is to add to the fullness, right? But you look around and you see there's other hairs, and the other hairs are longer. So instead of playing your position of just being thick and adding to fullness, you look at them and say, oh no, they're longer. So you know what? I'm gonna be longer than them. And all of them going to have to catch up with me, to me, because I'm the longest one out here. But guess what? When you see a hair that's longer than the rest of the hairs, that one get cut. You're going to get cut. And you're going to keep getting cut until you learn to stay in your position. Now you became split ends because you want to grow longer than the rest of them. You got to get cut. You have to learn to stay in your position and operate in the function that is your purpose. And you know, if you were by yourself, if you were that one strand and you were there by yourself, child, just boil it as a breeze. Child, you know one thing, you are not going to add to any fullness or thickness if you are the only one. That's why many are the members of the body. And those parts have many functions. Some of them do the same thing. We have five fingers. They all do the same thing. Sorry, science. When we were in science class, they said we had four fingers and a thumb. But am I supposed to cut off my pinky because I say I got three more fingers? I don't think the pinky really do nothing. I'm going to just cut that one off because I got more fingers. I don't need that. You can't do it by yourself. Your position was not, you are not put in that position to be by yourself. You can't operate in the purpose that God wanted you for alone. Your purpose is to contribute. Now, the way that you contribute is between you and God. But you're always going to be contributing. The fingernails, the skin, the cells, the blood, the bone, the ligaments, all that make up a hand. Individually, they have a function that contributes to the abilities of the hand, right? And the hand contributes to the arm. The arm contributes to shoulder and the whole body. There's always a bigger picture. And you have to see outside of just yourself to begin to grasp the scope of that bigger picture. As we follow Jesus and seek him to find our function, we have to understand that the position was assigned to us to serve God. So whatever it is that we're doing it in a position of serving. And that's the grandest picture of all. We are assigned to serve. So think about that when you go to work, when you're with your children, when you are out to dinner. Think about that on your day-to-day life. We are all here to serve. Many are the members, many are the parts, but all one body. Has God revealed your position? Has God revealed your position? Think about it. Pray about it and listen for the answer. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today on the Who God Says podcast with your host and Kingdom Ambassador, Tyshawn Drew.
Go to whogodsays.com to join the mailing list for episode premieres, upcoming guests, and more. Send in your questions to be a part of the show at whogodsays@gmail.com. And don't forget, join the Kingdom Fanatic community. Until next time, be blessed and also be a blessing.